Persecuted by the state of Hawaii. Yep. Unfortunately, we got word towards the beginning of the week that they want to pass a bill that will force our pro-life center to put a sign in our waiting area of our pro-life center. It's called a place for women. It's a pregnancy care and counseling center. And you hear about it periodically. In fact, we just had January was the affirmation of life, pro-life month. And so anyway, they're trying to pass a bill to make us put a sign in the center on telling people where to go get an abortion and also give them literature as they leave our center in regards to that also, from what I understand. So we spent Thursday giving testimony to the committee of the House of Representatives. I think there was about 8 or 10 of them there, as well as going to the Senate on Friday. The House of Representatives were much more cordial, courteous, and hospitable, if you will, for that day, even though you have 1 minute. They're always big on, you only got a minute. I felt like during, it's like, hey, I pay taxes, you know. I want to, you know, at least give me 2 minutes, which I did take. But anyway, that was at the House. Now, at the Senate, you got 15 seconds. The House hearing, they put us on the docket very last. And I think it was about 11:15, 11:20, right in there. And they had to quit by 11:30. And so it was like, well, we're just out of time. And we don't have any time. We got to get this because we have to break at 11:30. And so, of course, they pull up the Planned Parenthood. They pull up the LGBT folks. They pull up, who was the other one? I think ACLU just spoke. All these people are affirming the bill to force us to put a sign up that is contrary to our Christian faith, okay? So I was able to share my letter and testimony to the House on Thursday. I deferred not to share it on Friday because they had a doctor, the Planned Parenthood folks, and well, this doctor, they're all together, pro-abortion doctor, slammed the pro-life centers and made this broad sweeping statement that we're unregulated and we've got a bunch of people that don't know what they're doing. Because there's five centers on the islands, pro-life centers. Three of them have an ultrasound machine, we're one of them. And so they said that, you know, that they have unqualified people doing these ultrasounds and blah, blah, blah. So I felt like we had to combat that, so I invited Dr. Vivian Wong to come. And so on Friday, because we also, Thursday, you kind of, your eyes get opened up, you realize, okay, now I know what we're up against. And also there was false testimony that was given by some folks there, but I won't go into the dirty details. But I deferred to speak because we need to combat doctor against doctor, that what we do is absolutely under the laws of our state in regards to medical procedures. And so I had Dr. Vivian come up, and they didn't like that. They didn't like that at all, these senators. Not all of them, okay? I have to be careful because I was a little bit broad-sweeping earlier, but there's some good senators that are on our side, as well as House Representatives folks, and there's others that are just dyed-in-the-wool, straight-on, abortion at all costs. We want to destroy, basically that's the feeling I got, we want to destroy all these pro-life centers and get rid of them. You know, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Everything we do in our center, if you don't know where it is, you just go past the office door, it's the next door over, and you go up some stairs, and then we have a counseling center, and we have an ultrasound machine. There's like three rooms, an administrative room, a lobby, and also a room where we provide diapers and new clothing for babies and all that stuff. We just give it all away. Everything we do is absolutely free. Pregnancy tests, absolutely free. All free. Ultrasound, absolutely free. Not one dime is taken from these folks. And everything, every step of the way, we ask them, would you like to have us explain this to you? Would you like us to explain this to you? And they would always be in agreement. So nobody's coerced, nobody's forced, nobody's manipulated. It's a very loving and kind environment. But we will through the whole process be promoting life and love to take care of that baby, keep the baby, don't get an abortion. And we want to educate you what can happen to you, what has happened to people after they've had an abortion. We have many of the girls that work the center, they are post-abortive. They've had abortions. They've had experienced the consequences of that abortion, which could be physical or could be emotional. And so they sit down with them, and they are always asked, would you like to hear my story? And then they would say, oh, yes, I would. And then they share. We do know that basically a woman has a 50% higher chance of getting breast cancer from an abortion later on in her life. Now, ask yourself this question. 1973, Roe v. Wade is passed, okay? Abortions take off. We've had 60 million abortions that are reported in America thus far, 60 million. Okay, let's think about this now. 60 million abortions, how about the breast cancer rates? How have they gone? They have skyrocketed since that time. Building, 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 building. Of course, it takes a while, and all of a sudden, and they're discovering that there's a breakdown in the hormonal system of a woman when that birth event is completely interrupted like that with the abortion. And it could lead to breast cancer down the road. Now, let me make another declarative statement. We love all people. We have all made mistakes in life. If you've had an abortion, we are never, ever here to condemn you. We're here to help you, always. We all make mistakes. We've all been deceived by this world and by our flesh and by the devil himself. And so we're here to lead people to truth. We're here to help people's hurting hearts. We want to bless their lives. So that's our heart's desire. And we have a 10-week counseling course. It's a post-abortive counseling course for women who are dealing with that guilt. Because God made us in such a way where we have guilt that's produced within inside us when we've done wrong. So they're taken through a class in regards to God's love, God's forgiveness, God's grace, God's mercy, the viability of that child, that it's a real baby, and so on and so forth. And you know what? That baby's with the Lord now. Okay? But let's not make the same mistake twice. And if there's any repercussions physically, let's see. You need to see medical attention. You need to get help. One of our wonderful sisters gave testimony at both the House and the Senate, although the Senate gave her 15 seconds, which was ridiculous. They were so rude. It was unreal. She gave testimony that she had an abortion when she was 17. She said 17? I don't want to get my people mixed up. It was 17 or 21. But she was in college at the time. She was young. Might have been 17. Anyway, but she got an infection from the abortion. And because of it, nobody was helping her at the Planned Parenthood or anything else. And so she finally got antibiotics, got it all done. But it made her sterile for the rest of her life. Never, ever, ever was she able to have a child. So there are repercussions. And so you try to share with people. And that's just one. There's many others. And so we try to do everything ethically and right and medically accurate at our center. And that's why I had Dr. Vivian Wong share in regards to my time with the Senate. But I will read you, if you don't mind, I'll read you my testimony for the House that I was able to share. And my wife, of course, is the executive director for A Place for Women. She shared a beautiful testimony. Stacy Jimenez, our administrator, shared great information and testimony, as well as Sophie shared and others. And there was other pro-life centers that also shared, but it was very, you know, come on, let's get through this. Come on, come on. Because there, so many of them, their minds are made up. They have an agenda. And all of a sudden, you start to think to yourself, and going, you know what? This is all set up. This is they've got this. You're sharing a testimony, and some, not all of them, okay, please. But some of them are just rolling their eyes like, oh, my gosh, we got to hear this. You know, now, there are a few of them that are real listeners, they're honest, they're sincere, and they want to make the right vote. Representative Oshiro at the House meeting on Thursday, he listened to all of us, everything that was said from both sides. We got a call, and he says, I'd like to come see your center for myself, see what you're all about. So he showed up 4 o'clock in the afternoon on Thursday. toured the center. They explain to him how the procedures are handled. A registered nurse does the ultrasound, who is certified. Our nurses are working at hospitals here locally. Faith is one of them, and does a beautiful job. I'm looking at Faith is here right now, but does a beautiful job and certified in and trained in ultrasounds. So everything is handled accordingly. And he goes, wow, this is a whole different story now that I'm here. And yeah, he's able to see it. But see, this is how the enemy works. See, we as a church, we decided to step onto the altar of Satan. And we have decided to pull babies off that altar. And that's what we're doing. We had 7 babies saved in the month of January. 7 babies. 7 babies. There were 6, and then one that was ministered to in December, she actually called us in January and said, I'm keeping my baby. You know how beautiful that is? That little baby's going to be born. How many have ever held a little baby? Raise your hand. Are they the cutest things ever? Yeah? They're not a thing. But anyway, but you know what I'm talking about. And then they grow up, and you love them, and you laugh, and you have a good time, whether you be a grandma or a grandpa or an auntie and uncle, mom, dad, of course, brother, sister. Yeah, amen. See, this is what we're fighting for. Satan hates God, and everything that God has done that is good, he is against. And so he loves to kill precious, pure, innocent little babies, especially in the womb. Here's my testimony. Thank you for the opportunity to testify in opposition to SB 501. It'd be HB 663 if it's with the House, but this. But anyway, as pastor of Calvary Chapel Pearl Harbor and board president of A Place for Women in YPO that serves women and families dealing with unplanned pregnancies in our community, I definitely oppose HB 501 or SB 663. SB 501 and HB 663. According to the United States Constitution, Amendment 1, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. In other words, we are exercising our religious belief, whereas we do not promote abortion. We promote life. Now, anybody can walk out of what we just counseled them with, and they can go get an abortion, and they've done it. But we just share with them the information about keeping the baby, the blessings of it. There could be some damage down the road, possibly after your abortion. And we give them free literature and all these things. And if they've had an abortion, they feel guilty over it, well, we have classes. We'd love to help you out. Calvary Chapel Pearl Harbor and one of its ministries, A Place for Women in YPO, believes and exercises the teaching of the Son of God, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who said, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly." John 10:10. I put that scripture in there because so many times they don't listen. Be honest with you, folks, they just don't listen to pastors and scriptures and all that stuff. But I don't care. The Bible says the word of God will not come back void. And the other thing was a declarative statement is that we believe in life, and this is given to us by the author of our religious belief, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we cannot have that abortion sign in there. In ministering to the community at large, we always try to help the hurting, console the confused, comfort the wounded, feed the hungry, bring hope to the forgotten, and peace to every heart. All of this is done without government intrusion. Freedom is the bedrock to our republic. The freedom of religion is placed at the top of our United States Constitution. With that freedom of religion is our deep-seated belief in life, liberty, and justice for all, whereas we cannot and will not promote abortion, which is the killing of precious, innocent little baby, which is the killing of a precious, innocent little baby. Please pick up a baby today and look into its eyes and see life, love, and helplessness. Let it be known first and foremost that our desire is not to fight with our Hawaii state government, but rather to change the hearts to choose love and life for the unborn. I've seen abortion videos with the tearing and breaking of the baby's body parts from the womb. It is truly ghastly, and I suggest you view it for conscience' sake. Secondly, we counsel the women and men who regret what they have done. They come to us as broken people. Some have ventured into alcoholism, drug addiction, promiscuity resulting in STDs, emotional distress and depression, especially at the time of the unbirthday of the aborted. Yet when a decision is made to keep the baby and give this tiny little cakey love and life, no one is disappointed or depressed, challenged at times, but they're always filled with joy. Every life challenge can be easily met through Ohana, church, and community, which includes we the people of the state of Hawaii. We know this law is a duplicate from the state of California, which is now making its way through the court systems, costing tremendous legal fees until it reaches the Supreme Court of the United States of America. SB 501 is not constitutional, moral, or fiscally prudent. SB 501 will not provide aloha for all. It creates more problems than solutions. It is not needed and is unwanted. Faith-based organizations in the state and the state, if Hawaii can work together, faith-based organizations in the state of Hawaii can work together, resolving our differences without stepping on freedom. We hope and pray that you will halt and oppose SB 501. Thank you for the opportunity to submit my testimony. My testimony was one of several that were given, and each of them you would have been applauding for also. We're at war, unfortunately, against the devil, number one. We're in a battle with the state of Hawaii right now. They want to destroy pro-life centers, and they're trying to figure out how to do it. If we do not post the sign, our first infraction will cost us $500. Every other infraction with that sign not being posted will cost us $1,000 each time. And believe you me, they'll send in surrogates to come in and try to find that sign and see that it wouldn't be posted. I'm going to tell you straight up, I'm not giving a dime to these folks, okay? So God knows what we're going to do. He's going to lead the way. We belong to two national organizations, Heartbeat International and NIFLA. What is it? The National Institute for Life Advocates is that one. And they are going, they already got wind of us. We've been talking to them. They're going to have attorneys that will be representing us for free and handling our case if it has to start working its way through the court systems. This is the fight that we're in, though. The question is this a fight worth fighting for? Is this part of our Christian faith? Are we just to win souls and make disciples and be done with it? The Bible says that a good tree bears good fruit, an evil tree bears bad fruit. It's easy to put your head in the sand and bury your head and say, I don't want to see anything, I don't want to hear anything, I don't want to know anything, and that's it. But Jesus said you're to be a light and salt in this world. Jesus himself went into the religious leaders that are supposed to be representing him, and he flipped over the tables with righteous anger. Jesus called down the political leaders of his day. So did John the Baptist. We are never called to be cream puffs, milk toast, sissy little Christians. Okay? We're called to stand for the truth to the point of death. They want to make us a martyr? Go for it. Now, I don't wish that on anybody or myself. But I'm just saying is, we cannot compromise our belief. We must stand strong with what God has given us. And thank God our founding fathers gave us that First Amendment. Amen? These guys were smart dudes. You know why they were smart? Because they've been under tyrannical governments. They saw how they worked and how they operated, and they were trying to protect us with all that they had. That's why when a soldier or any government official, they're supposed to be protecting us from foreign and domestic enemies that would be against the Constitution of the United States of America. This is a denial of our free speech. They're telling us what we have to say. This is a denial of our freedom of religion, They're telling us that we have to follow the dictates of the state. So what's next? Are you going to come here on Sunday mornings and say, here's your sermon, Pastor. This is what you have to preach. Is this going to be a state-run church like in China? Where does it stop? You see, my friends, you and I have to fight the good fight of faith. Amen? Amen. We hate no one. I want everybody to get saved. I want the senators. I want the House of Representatives. I want the governor. I want all people to be saved. I want abortion doctors to be saved. You know, the first abortion clinic was founded in 1973 by Dr. Bernard Nathanson in New York City. First one. He did thousands of abortions. Guess what happened to the man? He got convicted by God. He repented of his sins, and he gave his heart to Jesus Christ. And then it was his crusade to come against the abortion industry. So anybody can be saved at any moment of time, just like Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul the Apostle. Amen? See, we hate no one. We want malice for no one. But we will not be bullied. We will not be pushed around. We will not be manipulated. We will not compromise our faith. We will stand strong in what we do. They want to shut us down. Ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen, folks. What I'd like to do next is take you into the Old Testament, and I want you to understand that this is nothing new. This is nothing new. Go with me to the book of Exodus, please. Book of Exodus. This is nothing new. God's used to this. And let me tell you something. The forces of evil have never won. God always wins. Okay? Exodus chapter 1. What took place? Now these are the names of the children of Israel who came to Egypt. Each man and his household came with Jacob, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. All those who were descendants of Jacob were 70 persons, for Joseph was in Egypt already. And Joseph died, all his brothers and all that generation. But the children of Israel, that is the children of Jacob, all, you know, we've been reading about them in Genesis. He says, the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly, multiplied and grew exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. The Jewish people are down in Egypt, and they've been living down there, and they've been now enslaved by the Egyptian government under the rulership of Pharaoh. Now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. That was a good relationship. Now there's a new king. And he said to his people, look, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply and it happen in the event of war that they also join our enemies and fight against us and so go up out of the land. I found that to be a very interesting word. Let us deal shrewdly. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to pass a bill that is dealing shrewdly to destroy our pro-life centers in Hawaii. And they want to use this as a template to try to come against pro-life centers throughout the whole nation. There's 3,300 pro-life centers across the nation right now. And babies are being saved. Lives are being changed. Hearts are being healed. He then says, look, and the people of the children of Israel are more mightier than we. Verse 10, come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply and it happen in the event of war that they also join our enemies and fight against us and so go up out of the land. Therefore they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh supply cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were in dread of the children of Israel. So the Egyptians made the children of Israel serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter and hard, with hard bondage and mortar and brick and in all manner of service in the field. And all their service in which they made them serve was with rigor. Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives. The king of Egypt speaks to the Hebrew midwives. These are the ones that help deliver babies, all right? These are the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Shifra and the name of the other Puah. And he said, when you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live. We can put up with women, but we can't put up with men because they might fight against us. So we're gonna have a deal here. You kill all the male babies that are born immediately. The moment they come out of that womb, kill them. So this whole thing of abortion is not new. He then says this. So the king of Egypt called, verse 17 rather, but the midwives feared God, thank goodness, and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, why have you done this thing and have saved the male children alive? And the midwives said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them. Quick births, they said. They're really quick, you know. Boom, they had the baby. But these midwives, these Hebrew, they fear God. They fear God. They reverence God over the government. It's very important. We reverence God over the government. Government is not our God. Okay? And they create laws that are against God. We cannot live by them. China has the one-child rule. Or they now changed it because it's created a tremendous problem in China. Nobody thinks long-term. What are the results? Well, think about it. They had a one-child rule in China. Guess which child was allowed to live and which child was killed? Male children were allowed to live. They carry on the family name, as well as they can be hard workers as they grow up. The girls were killed. Now they have an overpopulation of male children or grown-up males. Gee, you should have really thought that long term. Amen? What are the results? Let's see here. 60 million children killed in the United States of America. 60 million. What are going to be the results? Oh, Social Security. We've run out of money. Why? Because 60 million employees are not working, filling the ranks of those who are going to get old and can no longer work. I'm thinking long term. I guess we should have thought long term. You see, I don't want any woman to get a back alley abortion, no way. But I do want to change the hearts of America. You can have your laws, you can do your thing, but let's change the heart of every American and change that heart for life. Life is precious. Life is beautiful. Little babies are wonderful. And yes, you can make it. Your life is not going to be ruined. It will change, but it's not going to be ruined. And the joy and the blessings that little one is going to give you cannot be measured. It cannot be measured. What happens next? And the midwives said to Pharaoh, these Hebrew women are lively, verse 20, therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very highly. Did you catch that? Guess who God gave favor to? He gave favor to the Hebrew midwives that would not follow what the government said. Rather, they follow what God had determined, which is right, which is to have life. I believe God's hand of blessing is going to be upon our church tremendously because we will not bow to the government dictates of our world. We will bring life to all people. Doesn't matter their race or their belief, we want to tell people, save your babies. Save your babies. Therefore, God dealt well with the midwives. And so it was because the midwives feared God that he provided households for them. So Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, every son who is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. So now he says, okay, just throw them into the river, the Nile. Well, then if we get to chapter 2, which I don't have time to go through, but we know this is the story of Moses, the little baby that is born, and he's put in that little basket, and they cover it with pitch to protect it so it won't sink. It's tar, and it's kind of probably like that Flex Seal commercial. But anyway, and they float him down the river, and God directs that little guy Moses right to Pharaoh's daughter who's bathing, and she goes, what's this? What's this? This basket. Look at the basket. And there's the baby. God moves the heart of Pharaoh's daughter. Oh, let's take care of this baby. Let's bring it into our household. Let's raise this baby. See if you can find a midwife to nurse her and so forth, a Hebrew woman that can nurse. And, of course, they get the sister of Moses was there. She runs and gets her mom, and they bring the mom. And so here's the mom nursing her own baby as God so designed and planned. God's love, God's protection for those who live righteously. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for great is their reward in heaven. Those who live righteously will suffer persecution, and that's what we're facing right now. They may not think they're persecuting us. They may think, well, we've got to control, we've got to regulate, we've got to do all these things. But you know what? Senators, House Representatives, come visit our center. Come talk to our doctors. Come see our nurses. Come talk to our people who've gone through the classes, who've been blessed, who've been helped. Very important. But instead, there's an agenda to destroy what God has raised up across the United States of America, 3,300 pregnancy centers. All right, that's an Old Testament example. Now, let's go to the New Testament. Why don't you go with me to the Gospel according to Matthew? And as you're turning your pages, I'll fill you in on some details. God raises up Moses to be a deliverer for the children of Israel. They continue to be enslaved. So after 80 years, God brings Moses back to Egypt. 40 years in Egypt, 40 years in the wilderness, now back to Egypt, and he's going to be used as a deliverer. And God takes Moses and says, Moses, you tell Pharaoh that he has to let my people go. And then Pharaoh says, no. And then God says, you tell Pharaoh there's going to be a plague, and then another plague, and another plague, and another plague, and another plague, all the way up to 9 plagues have stricken the Egyptian people. Not the Hebrew people, just the Egyptians. And still Pharaoh had hardened his heart so much against God, so arrogant, so proud, so belligerent. He says, I will not let you go. And yet he saw the hand of God plaguing his people. And then finally God says, all right, this is what we're going to do. You tell Pharaoh that this night there's going to be a death angel, a death plague that will come into the land. And if you don't let my people go, the firstborn of every Egyptian household is going to die. You see, you reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. You want to do evil? Evil will come upon you. I suggest you repent and get right with God. Then you can stop the evil that will come upon you. You want to kill babies? Your firstborn are going to die now. Enough. You cannot fight against God and win. See, I feel sorry for these people that are sold out for abortion, because a time is coming where judgment will fall upon them, their children, and their households, unless they repent. The day is coming. There's always a day of judgment. Things happen maybe slowly to get their attention. An illness, a situation, a heartbreak. And they can either say, oh, it's just part of life. Or they begin to say, I think God is doing something to me because of the way I voted. I voted for abortion. And God is plaguing my family. I fear for them. I fear for them, my friends. I've seen it happen time and time again. It is important for us to realize that God's judgment will come. It will come. Moses is there with the 10th plague. God says to Moses, take a lamb, slit its throat, let the blood drain into the basin. Do this at the doorway of every Jewish home there in Egypt. All that are enslaved, I'm going to deliver my people tonight. Slit the lamb's throat, let the blood go into the bowl, and then take that hyssop branch, it's a furry branch, dip it in there and slap some on this doorpost and that doorpost and on the lintel. And when the death angel comes over, the blood of the lamb will protect your home. That death angel will see it. It will not enter into that home. It'll just go over. This is where we have what's called the Passover that the Jews celebrate. Death passed over their homes. Jesus Christ is our Passover lamb. When you come to Christ and give your heart to him, death will pass over you. The moment you die physically, you'll immediately find yourself in heaven living eternally. Because you've taken the blood of the lamb and you've covered your heart with his blood. You've asked Christ to be your Lord and Savior. You've admitted you're a sinner. You need him to save your soul. And now the blood of the lamb, the blood of Jesus Christ, has washed away all your sins. No matter what sin you've ever committed, all your sins are fully washed away. That death angel came over Egypt, and there was weeping and wailing all through Egypt as their firstborn all died. And then Pharaoh says, get out. Get out of our land. Get out. And thus they were delivered from Egypt. And then they went across, heading to the promised land. But then Pharaoh changed his mind. I will kill all the Hebrews now. And he chases after them. And then we know the story of the Red Sea. The parting of the Red Sea, the Hebrew children going across that Red Sea, and then the consuming of the Egyptian army. They have videos now that are out. The video documentary is called Exodus Revealed. If you haven't seen it, pull it up on the internet. They have discovered things that look like coralized chariot wheels in the Red Sea, as well as there is a land bridge that has risen up that is from one side where there's this massive beach where they could go through the foothills to this massive beach, and then the land bridge is right there, and it takes them over to Saudi Arabia. And they discovered that there was a pillar placed there by King Solomon, marking a memorial for the crossing of the children of Israel. The Bible's true, and you cannot fight against God and win. The entire Egyptian army was destroyed. New Testament, real quickly. New Testament, in the life of Christ. Do we have another example of this infanticide? Now, after chapter 2 of Matthew. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes and the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophets, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. And of course, we're in the book of Micah as well of Isaiah and so forth. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me, and that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood. It stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him, worshipped Jesus. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child, that is Jesus, and his mother, Mary, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts from 2 years old and under. Infanticide. Kill the babies. What kind of a government is that? Then we ask ourselves, what kind of government do we have? They want us to promote abortion in a pro-life center? What intrusion? They want to destroy us. $500 fine? $1,000 fine? Are you serious? How are we who believe in life to promote abortion? The Bible says, all the male children who were in Bethlehem and all its districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more. The prophet Jeremiah prophesied that this would take place when the Messiah comes. There'll be a killing of children in Bethlehem, where the Christ child would be born, according to Micah 5:2. Now when Herod was dead, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead." Then he arose, took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into the region of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in the city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken by the prophets, "He shall be called a Nazarene." And we got so many Bible studies going on in this passage, it's unbelievable. But I'll stay on topic. The prophets have spoken. Jesus is saved. He said they'll be killing in Bethlehem because of a wicked, evil government. The tree will bear its fruit. I don't want Democrats. I don't want Republicans. I don't want Green Party, the liberals. I don't want anybody to go to hell. But let's make right decisions. If you guys want to promote abortion, you promote it. But don't make us pro-lifers. Christians who follow our Lord Jesus Christ, "I've come to give you life and life more abundantly," John 10:10, promote an evilness that we cannot agree with. People can get abortion. Go for it. Do whatever you want. That's your business. You'll pay the price, but we're just trying to help you out. Go for it. It's your business. But if we can help you make a decision to have that little precious baby and to be blessed and loved by God and to raise that little one in the ways of the Lord, it'd be awesome. And you know what? If you made the wrong decision in your life, whether you promoted the abortion or you were part of, you had the abortion, hey, we're here to heal your heart. We want to love you. We want to bless you. We want to help you. We never condemn anybody. This is our heart's desire, my friends. This is our battle. I'm going to tell you honestly, in my flesh, I was stinking mad Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And the Lord had to minister to me because I know in my flesh, I'm not a good person. I'm not a good person. I'm in my flesh, when she told me, "You got 30 seconds, I feel like slapping my head down. I pay taxes. Who are you to tell me? That's what I wanted to do. But the Spirit of the Lord said, "The wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." So I thought, "Oh, okay, Lord, I can't do that, you know." It's not. But I was so irritated with how rudely we were treated. Second-class citizens, as if our opinions, our testimonies didn't matter, but everybody else of the other opposing side, plenty of time. And the rolling of the eyes while anything was shared on our side, it was like, "Oh, brother, we have to listen to this?" But this is the world we live in. Now, I'm going to tell you something. God bless him. Mike Gabbard, senator, state senator, he voted no to pass the bill. God bless him. And I pray that others will change their mind. Representative Ashiro came and checked out our place. God bless him. And there's some others that are in the House side. They're you know what? I don't think this is a good bill. God bless them. See, it's important for us that we, you know, the Bible says in Romans, Romans says to us, he says, don't return evil for evil. See, we get mad and angry and, you know, do something evil. No. He says, don't return evil for evil, but rather do good. Do good. And then the Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I've realized in my Christian life, since I was 21, a long time already, hey, I've realized that God does a lot better job at vengeance than me. So I want us to give this to the Lord. Doesn't mean we don't make a stand. Doesn't mean we're bold. We do all those things. But God, you deal with these people. We'll pray for their souls. We'll try to do good to them the best we can. We don't agree with anything that they're doing. But you know what, Lord? It's your vengeance on their souls. Like Pharaoh, like Herod, and others who kill and promote the killing of precious little babies. Save their souls, yes. If not, as David prayed. No, I won't say it. If you know what David prayed about his enemies, knock their teeth out. No, I don't wish that on them. You know, God is a good God. He's a wonderful God. And I pray that all these senators and representatives will come to know Jesus Christ. Simple as it is. Because you know what? That's the only way they're going to have peace. Peace in their souls and their hearts. Amen? You guys with me on this? I'm just sharing my heart. It's been a tough... My wife and I, our anniversary was Thursday when we had to go down to our 37th year anniversary. We had all these plans made for ourselves Thursday and Friday, getting away and all, having a great time together. And next, we spent our whole time down at the state capitol. And it was like, oh, Lord, this is crazy. So be in prayer because we've got some more visitation going on and talking to some more people as we continue this battle next week. And we'll keep you updated. We'll get back to our regular studies in Genesis next week. Next week, what's the day today? Fourth? Yeah, next Sunday. Hope I got this right. Yeah, next Sunday, we have T.A. McMahon, who's going to be sharing with us next Sunday. He's been a part of what's called the Berean Call for years. That was with Dave Hunt. Dave Hunt has gone home to be with the Lord. But a wonderful apologetic ministry, and he's a great guy, and we've gotten to become friends, and we're looking forward to him coming out and sharing with us. So it's going to be a great time. Now, also tonight, I'll be in 2 Thessalonians, starting that book, chapter 1. And also, we're going to have a very special time of prayer for those whose team lost in the Super Bowl. Listen, we need to have communion. I almost forgot. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, and we ask your blessings upon this time of communion. The first Sunday of the month, Lord, we always have communion, and we just want to worship you, and we want to honor you and proclaim your death until you come for us. And so, Lord, may you bless this time in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.